Live on Tape, Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between. With award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. Here are your hosts, Tom and Charles.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Work in Progress. I'm Tom Alexander. And as always, I am joined by my good friend and podcast partner. It is Charles Epstein. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Tom. Today, we're going to be speaking with Todd Horton, founder and CEO of Tango Gift, whose mission is to help organizations improve their corporate cultures and help organizations increase employee engagement, retention, and manager effectiveness. And we had a pre-production call with Todd, so I'm really looking forward to this, Tom.
Yeah, me too. It should be really interesting. And he's had a very interesting career prior to today.
Indeed, and we'll obviously get to that when we have him on. You know, speaking of gifts, Tom, with Thanksgiving in the rear view and the new year fast approaching, and as we're about to embark on our third year doing this podcast,
Third year. Unbelievable.
Yes. Time flies.
It does.
It does. What are you thankful for, Mr. Alexander? I know there are many things in your life and career you're thankful for, probably just a shade more than you're resentful about, but still, if you can boil it down to one, and no, this is not a leading question. You do not have to say that you're thankful for my partnership and friendship, as that goes without saying, though.
Goes without saying, yes.
So of course, if you absolutely feel the need, don't let me stand in your way.
Well, you know, I mean, my knee-jerk reaction is, you know, what are you going to say? You're going to say, of course, your family, your friends, in my case, my band, too. I'd add that. But
stop that knee from jerking.
I will. Yes, that's it. No more knee-jerk reactions. You know, it's interesting because I've always been a curious person. And while my background is largely in radio, broadcasting and all that, and asking a lot of questions, sometimes you get into something that you maybe isn't exactly your experience, which is some of the people that we've spoken with. I don't know an awful lot about what they do, but it's an opportunity to learn. And I've really, really learned so much doing this. And it just satisfies my insatiable curiosity. So I'm really grateful for that.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have to say amen to that. I have many things to be thankful for, as do you. But yeah, I'm definitely thankful for this podcast. Not to sound corny, but I really am thankful for this podcast. We meet so many extraordinary people, and it's given us entree to speak with CEOs, professors, writers, accomplished people doing very interesting things who all come on ready to play ball, all bringing their A game. It really is a treat, and really looking forward to continue doing this into the new year. And of course, I'm very thankful, Tom, for your partnership and friendship. I just have to say, this is neither the time nor the place for that.
Well, thank you. Likewise, as always, it is Todd Horton. He's coming up next, right here on Work in Progress. Stay tuned.
Data, the mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it, 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salarybudgetsurvey. To learn more.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening, a recording for Blue Note Records.
Is the founder, CEO of Tango Gift, whose mission it is to help organizations improve their corporate cultures and assist organizations increase employee engagement, retention, and manager effectiveness. They do this via an HR technology platform that helps HR leaders, managers, and executives celebrate the employee experience in authentic ways. Todd joins us today from Red Bank, New Jersey. Hey, Todd.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on to talk shop about employee engagement.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. Please say hello to my podcast partner, Charles Epstein.
Hello, Charles.
Hey, Todd. Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I have to say, Tom and I planned on mentioning that in anticipation of this conversation. We had a hearty breakfast of green eggs and ham, but we decided not to, thinking that you've had your fill of Dr. Seuss jokes growing up.
Thank you. Well, Horton did hear a who, and I am happy to report that I did use one of those DNA services, and I have no relation to Horton Hears a Who. And so there's nothing to share about that. But yes, Dr. Seuss has been very generous. And I think recently somebody asked me if I'm related to Tim Horton, the Canadian coffee empire, which unfortunately I had to say no. So.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for clearing that up. I'm glad we got through that difficult part of this conversation.
We see a lot of Tim Horton ads on the hockey games. You see a lot of those, a lot of billboards for Tim Horton.
Yeah, interesting. They're making a big push up there and down here, too. So it's good coffee. And that's an unpaid placement for them.
There you go.
Yeah, excellent. I'm going to start with a very broad question. You mentioned that you help execs celebrate the employee experience in authentic ways. How would you define the employee experience, and how would you define or describe the difference between celebrating it in an authentic versus an inauthentic way?
Thank you. You know, what we've done at Kango Gift with our clients over the years is think of the employee experience as, you know, all of the stages or all of the touch points that an employee will go through. And you recently had a guest on talking about putting HR through a marketing lens. And we also think of it in that experience of, you know, what is the first time an employee will interact with your company and brand, also talk to a recruiter, and take that process all the way through to leaving. And in a good way, this is something a lot of us in the industry are talking about. And where we come in as, you know, as a vendor working with our clients is trying to think of it from the angle of positivity. And what we call it is authentic communication. So the way we think about it is, how can leaders, you know, be genuine and true to themselves and to the values of the organization when interacting, you know, with employees? So specifically, what that means is, in this day and age, if a senior leader can talk about an employee impact at various stages of the employee journey, when they're new, when they've been at the company for a few years, going through a milestone, that content that's focused on impact and something that's positive goes a much further way than somebody saying something because they feel like they should, or it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah. Excellent.
Todd, I'm going to just back up for a second. I see that you were a marketing director with Monster for a couple of years and also relocated for a period to Seoul, Korea. Gosh, you know, what was that like? And what did you bring back with you from that experience?
Yeah, I was very, very fortunate after grad school to join Monster. And this is when Monster was really thinking about, you know, recruitment trends globally. And they had acquired a company in Korea. And I was sent there. The job title was marketing director, but in a healthy way, I wasn't sent there to teach people what to do. I was really there as a student to help learn the Asia Pacific recruitment market. So on a personal level, living in Korea was great. I was fortunate to have the language ability. So I was able to give people a tough time if I was in the elevator and they would say in Korean, "Hey, why is the new guy here?" And I'd say, "Hey, good morning. I speak Korean." So I was able to kind of, you know, show people some fun stuff. But in regards to living and working there, I think the best part of, you know, being a student in Korea about the recruitment market was just how much, you know, we on this side can benefit of how Koreans think about corporate culture, and which has been a dovetail into, you know, what we do at Kango Gift. So to be clear, Korea kind of defined the second half of my life here.
Where did you learn your Korean?
I learned it in grad school. So in a fun way, you know, wanted to learn the language and thought I did a good job, and then moved to Korea and realized I didn't really know anything. And so, you know, by just living there for a few years, was able to get really good.
Great.
Wow. That's really interesting. Todd, what inspired you to start Kango Gift? What did you see in the marketplace that wasn't being sufficiently addressed?
Yeah, I think so. The background of Kango Gift actually goes way back to 2007, which if we can remember that far back. And while I was in Korea, part of what I would be doing is kind of teaching the team kind of marketing concepts and marketing principles. And one day after doing this, I was walking home and my phone beeped and it was somebody sent me a thank you gift for just saying, Todd, really just wanted to say thanks for a great marketing class today. And I'm going way, way back. And so that idea of kind of that instant positive thank you really stood out to me. It was also back in a different generation when the idea that I could just go to a coffee shop, flash my phone and get the actual coffee to have that gift card on the phone was a big idea. So the motivation for starting Kango Gift started with the personal thing of saying, frequent positive reinforcement actually goes a long way. And in the US, when back then, when we thought of employee recognition, we always would think of it as milestone based. There was almost a reason to give somebody recognition. Either it's like an employee sacrificed something. You stayed late. Thank you for your sacrifice. Let me give you recognition. And I like the idea of filling in the gaps of helping, you know, pay it forward and be positive, you know, throughout the employee experience. So that's how Kango Gift started, was really an on the spot kind of thank you gifting tool. And we were very fortunate in the beginning. We launched in the era of Foursquare and others, and we're called A Brilliant Idea. Super appreciative of all the attention we got. And as the years have gone on, we're still very true to the mission of just try to be genuine to your employees. And it pays a lot of dividends. And there are ways to stitch that together. But that's kind of what's kept us and the team together for these 12 years.
Well, that's amazing. So based on that singular insight, you know, it's interesting. These days, there's this expression that people bandy around, give people their flowers. And as you know, it's about giving people their props, telling people while they're present, while you're present, you know, some positive things about them. And it seems to be kind of a trend. And I think it's very positive, and it sort of, I think, dovetails with the spirit of Kango Gift in a way.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I think the fun part of having, you know, been in this, we'll say, sandbox for 12 years is, you know, there was a period when like leaderboards were really popular, who's received the most, and that type of game stuff, that's kind of, you know, gone away a little bit, not because we're anti that or that's bad. It's just really saying the trend is, you know, it doesn't have to be a competitive, positive race. It's really just coming up with ways to, you know, kind of say thank you. I remember when, you know, in sales mode early on, somebody said, a head of HR at a very large company said, you seem like a nice guy, but we would never use a tool like yours. Why the heck would I email Tom a thank you? I could just walk to Tom's cube and thank him in person. And flash forward, you know, now we're all faced with the idea of, well, what's the best way to do this? And so we're kind of agnostic. We're just about how do you give people the content and the right things to keep it positive.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
Our guest is Todd Horton. He is the founder and CEO of Kango Gift. Hey, Todd, you know, you say that an employee's positive experience starts before day one. How so?
Yeah, I think we've all been in situations where, you know, there's a bit of a gap between how organizations promote themselves and what it's like, you know, when you actually join the company. And this comes from a place of being on the side of HR and the side of companies, that it's really difficult to manage that. And so I think what we're noticing is, you know, more and more companies not only are thinking about their public image and having different stakeholders help manage that, but be a little bit more genuine with what is it really like to work here and what does it really mean? And so specifically what we've seen with our clients is having kind of the employee engagement and rewards people brought to the table of the recruitment team to stitch together kind of a clearer narrative of what is it like to work at this company. We've also seen with our clients, you know, increasing response rates around thanking candidates, acknowledging if they're not going to be a fit, and acknowledging kind of the effort that they put in to submit an application, versus because we all have been there where you feel like your application goes into a black hole. So for us, the rift here is what it's like externally versus what it's like when you join. And we're seeing some more concerted efforts these days to do that. And so to give you a concrete example and some practical tips, so like some of our clients use use our tool to literally acknowledge and thank every candidate that joins the company. And so that touch point is not just about thanking them for joining, but also acknowledging when they interview with the company. So we also send acknowledgement, thank you awards just for interviewing, getting to know the company a bit. And those kind of touch points really, you know, give people a positive experience. And again, talking HR shop, if I thank you, Charles, for interviewing and you're not a fit and I'm never going to hire you, in theory, you might say something nice about us, you know, down the road when you're talking to somebody, you know. So it's that kind of gap that we're just trying to fill.
Sure. You know, by the way, you mentioned the tool, and obviously the tool automates a good deal of this. How much, though, because every company is different. Every company has their own culture. Every company has their own, perhaps, methodology. How much of this, or how much customization work goes in, and how much consultation goes in over the life of a company using your tool?
Yeah. So I think the way we view it is we are an HR tech vendor. So we are a software company. And the niche we've carved out is we believe every company has its own corporate culture. And we talk about what stages of the employee experience clients want to focus on. So think of us as kind of like the best practice tool that can be configured quickly and is fixated on exactly what the organization wants to do. Because we take the approach, while it's great to check off a box and turn on an app in the HRIS, there's nothing wrong with that. But if there's a bit more, you know, energy and bandwidth to think about specific things, where we can do is, you know, help improve those stages. So what that means in practice is, you know, we become the system that may remind people of birthdays. One of our most popular features this year is actually giving senior leaders speaking points that they may want to share with employees. So so the idea that no matter what generation we're in, senior leaders always have a tough time talking to frontline employees at companies. And so what we're doing is now giving them content to potentially mention, which there's nothing, you know, we're very transparent. Employees know there's nothing, you know, that we hide about that stuff. The point is, when you equip people with something concrete to say, and they actually say it, that's what Kango Gift does, is we just help set up people to say something genuine. But to be clear, it is software that people then, you know, log in and give recognition, and we'll automate things like surveys and asking employees how they're doing. But at the end of the day, we're the system that reminds people and gives them some guidance, and then they use our tool to say something nice to coworkers.
Ah, okay. Todd, you founded Kango Gift in 2009. A good deal, as you know, has changed over these past 12 years. What have been the biggest changes, and how has Kango Gift adapted to these changes?
Yeah, I think, well, the biggest change that we're seeing is the what I'm going to refer to as the work-life barrier at work continues to open up. So, you know, when what employees feel comfortable sharing with colleagues in some organizations is much more open than it used to be. We all remember days when, you know, you don't talk about that at work. So I think that work-life barrier opening is one of the biggest changes, because in practice, what we then work with clients on is, how do you educate managers how to respond to those things? Because if Tom shares something overly personal with me, I have to be equipped to respond to something like that, or if I should, you know, respond to it. I think a second, you know, adjustment that we've seen over the past, you know, decade is an unfortunate perception that, you know, managers are not always on the side of employees. And, you know, we have plenty of examples where that's true. But I also, you know, think it's once people kind of have a chance to talk about the work, talk about the goals, that it is easier to find more of a middle ground than what the perception is. So it's almost like there's a bit more of a gap between senior leaders and employees these days.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. One of your recent blog posts is titled "Strengthen Your Culture Without AI." And you write in that quote, one of the subject matters that keeps coming up is artificial intelligence, AI. I want to reassure you that you don't have to feel a sense of FOMO, that's fear of missing out, about AI. Machine learning is where it's at, close quote. Some, perhaps many, don't know the difference between machine learning and AI. In fact, many don't really know what AI means, although they feel compelled to intone those magical two letters. Per your post, what should people know about machine learning and what is its relevance to what you do and what they should be doing?
So we started, we're fortunate to have a data team, and we started working on machine learning and AI back in 2015. So we've had some visibility into this. I think the headline is people don't want a robot telling them what to do. And so when we think of AI, again, keeping this very general and at a super high level, when we think of AI in the HR sandbox, it still is a challenge to, you know, have robots kind of tell us what to do. So what we've noticed is that machine learning can help provide suggestions to people. So machine learning can just shed light on areas of an organization that you may want to pay attention to. And I know some of your previous guests have talked about things like, you know, employee using machine learning for retention and trying to identify which groups of employees you may want to, you know, focus on. And that's something that we've seen machine learning, you know, pretty impactful there too, is you can, you know, not predict, but you can get a confidence interval around if people have been at the company so long, you know, are they at risk of leaving? Which managers have the highest retention rates? What are the qualities of the managers that you should focus on to increase retention? So I think the difference here is if AI is kind of giving you a suggestion that you need to do this, people refuse that. But if you have machine learning to just observe some trends and try to make some predictions, what will be meaningful, that's where, you know, it tends to do well.
Well, that really is a very clear distinction. Thanks for clearing that up, Todd. And actually, it's very reassuring, as I'm sure you've seen news reports the other day, it just came out that engineers have been experimenting with robots procreating.
Yes. And I did see that. And there, as we know, we all know people that are dabbling in this and continuing to, you know, bring this to reality. And we offer the pillar that when it comes to people, the reason we chose this profession is we can't predict people's actions and predict what people say and do. We can just kind of, you know, try to get as comfy as possible. I think we just looked at 77,000 recent recognitions to kind of understand what people are doing. And this is where just building on the idea that the AI may not be the answer. You know, when we started the company, we had the ratio of 4 to 1. You'd have to give employees 4 positive reinforcements for every constructive one. Then before COVID, it was up to 5 to 1, a ratio of 5 to 1. Now we're up to a ratio of 6 to 1 that you need to tell your employees 6 times something good before you give them some constructive, you know, feedback. And so that's kind of been an interesting kind of takeaway. And I think, you know, now that we're dovetailing, you know, from smart tools, which we all have, we also need to acknowledge that, you know, leaders become leaders by through competition. But now they need the skills to be supportive leaders and communicate kind of what the mission and values are to the employees. And yeah. I think that's kind of where we find ourselves now is it's not about the technology. It's does a leader actually know what the mission is and can they, you know, communicate that impact to the employee? So at least for this interview, we're still giving it some time before the AI people kind of tell us to take over our stuff.
Okay, good. That, again, very reassuring, Todd. I'm glad we're having this conversation. If for nothing else, that. Bit of information. So thank you.
Yeah, we can beat the robots.
for a time at least.
Yeah. Robot zero, but
exactly.
Yeah. Last question, Todd. And again, thanks so much for spending the time with us today. Your fundamental mission is to improve company culture. I'm going to ask you a question we put to a number of guests who've come on the pod. How do you maintain a cohesive company culture with so many employees working remotely?
Yeah, I think, you know, my alma mater, I went to Yale for grad school, and one of the professors there, Tali Reich, she did a lot of research on organizational behavior, and she actually came up with a really good takeaway that resonates with us and for corporate culture discussion. If you use your gut, that will help you prevent regret. And so if we're coming from a good place these days and you're using your gut, and you come from a positive place of intention, you're not likely to regret the decisions you're making. So if I feel the need to recognize Tom for jumping in on the conference call with finance to say, we actually do need this money, and my gut is to thank him for, you know, defending us when we're trying to have an expenditure, there's nothing, I'm not going to regret that. I don't necessarily need in this hybrid world data to tell me I need to should do this or should do that. So in this world where we're all sitting in different locations, I think a good takeaway is if it feels like the right thing to do, just do it. And to be more specific, one of the biggest takeaways from 2021 with our clients has been educating managers how to respond to employees. And so this goes back to some research that Harvard Business School with Kelly Decker, where if you actually pause before you reply and think about what tool to use, is it phone worthy, instant message worthy, email worthy, Zoom worthy, employees really appreciate that. So keeping your culture together during these times, I think those are the two, you know, vague, but really meaningful things that we all can do. Make choices that you don't regret and be genuine, and also communicate with the right tools. Because as we all know, an instant message content can be misread and the tone of my voice on the phone can really communicate what's going on. And so I think it's that hybrid. And I can go deeper with some more stats, but it doesn't cover generations. It's not like young people don't want you to call them. We just want, you know, genuine communication.
So one of my takeaways, I guess, is that machine learning and metrics are good, but they don't trump the human dimension.
Correct. And this is coming from an HR tech vendor stitching together all these engagement programs for thousands and hundreds of thousands of moments. But the point is, in this day and age, we trust our decisions and we trust our ability to just be genuine at work. And all these tools out there just become an extension of that. It's not going to replace anything.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, we've very much enjoyed this human conversation today, Todd. Thank you so much for taking the time out to join us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the chance to share what we're doing. Thank you.
Todd Horton, he is our guest today. He was the founder and CEO of Kango Gift. Todd spoke to us from Red Bank, New Jersey. This is Work in Progress. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Data, the mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it, 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salarybudgetsurvey to learn more.
Wrapping things up now on Work in Progress, along with Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander. Todd Horton heard a lot more than a who. I think he's heard, we actually got to hear it awful lot.
Yes, we heard a who, what, when, why, and where.
Yes. So
it was a full conversation.
It was.
You know, as is often the case, after we stopped recording, we spoke for about another 10 minutes or so, and I wish we could have included that in the interview, but we'll definitely have to have Todd on again. That was fun. Yeah. And very interesting, you know.
Yes. I was going to say one of the few guests that insisted we play him on and off with a little jazz, which is always fun.
Yes. Yes. And we did just that. So we do comply. We are compliant here at Work in Progress.
We are.
Yes. You know, but one of the many things that struck me was his comment about how he came to found Kango Gift. It was based on a personal experience and insight into the positive effects an expression of recognition can have. And, you know, while Kango Gift has a platform to essentially prompt and automate the process of recognition and gift giving, you know, what I found very interesting is that it's premised on a very human impulse and a very human need. You know, in my experience dealing with a lot of these technology-driven companies, they tend to lose sight, you know, basic human behavior. And at a point, they're just building their platform or app, you know, in some idealized
context and they lose sight of what prompts people to behave in the ways they do. And they wind up focusing on building a technology solution to a human issue that may be addressed by using technology, but not by technology itself. And I think that was a really interesting takeaway from that conversation. And, you know, as I said, at one point during the talk with Todd, you know, one of the main takeaways for me was that, you know, machine learning and metrics, yes, they're very important, but they don't trump the human element. They go hand in glove. Yeah. But they don't trump the human element. It needs to be integrated into.
Yeah. And
here people work and think.
Yeah. And here's hoping it never trumps the human element. That's all I got to say about that topic, as Forrest Gump would say.
Yes. And last thought.
Yeah.
I just want to say, for those of you listening, check out the link in the description below where you can find fascinating stats and takeaways from Kango Gift clients who've used their platform. A lot of really interesting stuff. So please check it out.
Absolutely. We thank Todd Horton for joining us today on the program. For Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander, thanking you for listening. And we'll see you next time right here on Work in Progress. So long, everybody.
This has been Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between, with award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. For more, visit worldatwork.org/workinprogress. That's worldatwork.org/workinprogress. Join us next week for another edition of Work in Progress.